Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'm going to speak with an employer in Florida about working in one of the most ecologically diverse places on Earth, the Everglades. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. JJ Condella is the general manager of Flamingo Adventures, which is part of the Guest Services network of companies, which are contracted by the National Park Service and other agencies to provide food, gifts, lodging, and recreation to people visiting the parks. The Everglades encompasses 1.5 million acres of wilderness at the southern tip of Florida. People from around the world visit the park to enjoy hiking, canoeing, biking, kayaking, camping, and fishing among the diverse wildlife. Flamingo Adventures has a 20-year contract to provide guest services to Everglades visitors. The company operates a marina store that rents canoes, kayaks, bikes, skiffs, and pontoon boats, as well as 4 houseboats that allow people to explore the backcountry of the Everglades and take all the conveniences of home with them. The firm also operates several larger boats that offer guests 90-minute guided tours of the park, where a naturalist describes plants and animals that make up the Everglades ecology. Flamingo Adventures manages 2 campgrounds within the park. The largest is near the Flamingo Visitor Center, and the other is at Long Pine Key in the northern section of the park. The Flamingo campground offers RV and tent sites, as well as several eco-tents, which are furnished with beds, fans, lights, and other comforts. There is a new lodge and restaurant being constructed now and expected to open in January or February. The lodge will have 24 rooms of varying sizes, and the restaurant will offer quick service casual dining with seating for 80 people inside and 20 on the outdoor deck. It's a big operation, and consequently, Flamingo Adventures needs a bunch of work campers to staff many positions, including camp hosts, cashiers, wait staff, cooks, housekeepers, and front desk attendants. Company hires couples and solo work campers. These are all full-time paid positions with wages ranging from $11 to $16 per hour. The firm has 19 full hookup RV sites and is adding another 12 in the months ahead. There are 2 additional full hookup sites at the Long Pines Key. RVers pay $20 per week to rent the sites, which is quite a bargain to spend the winter in Florida. Peak season begins in early October, and all work campers are in position by mid-November and continue working through the end of April or May. To tell us more about the operation and what work campers can expect when spending a season in the Everglades, please welcome JJ Condella, the general manager of Flamingo Adventures, to the show. Thanks for joining me today, JJ. Appreciate the time. Tell me what Flamingo Adventures is all about.
Yeah. Oh, we're all about Southern Florida here, right on the bay. You know, we're all about fishing. We're all about exploring the 1.5 million acres of wilderness that we have here. We're canoeing, we're kayaking, we're hiking in the winter months, of course, with all the migratory birds down here. So, you know, it's a destination for a lot of different purposes and reasons, depending on the person coming here. But, man, there's sure a lot to offer, and it's a beautiful place to spend the winter months.
That's neat. How long has Flamingo Adventures been in business?
So Flamingo Adventures themselves were just about 3 years into a 20-year contract here.
20-year contract. Well, that's right. So you contract with the Everglades National Park.
Exactly. So we're the concessioner for Flamingo here. We operate our marina store. We have our rental activities, which include canoes, kayaks, bicycles. We have skiffs and pontoon boats available for rent. We have a fleet of 4 houseboats. We have 2 tour boats, one that goes into the backcountry side of the Everglades here, and one that goes out onto our bay side. They're both 90-minute narrated tours. You'll have a captain and one of our naturalists on board to talk about the, you know, uniqueness of our wilderness here and the area and the wildlife and the ecology and everything in between. And then we also operate 2 campgrounds. One of them is right here in Flamingo. The other is more at the north entrance, coming in through the same road. It's about 5 miles in from the entrance of the park. That's our Long Pine Key Campground. That one is only open seasonally. It's open from November 1st through the end of April. And then our Flamingo Campground here is open year-round. We have tent spaces, tent sites. We have RV sites. We have what we call our walk-in camping, which is right on the Florida Bay. That's a little more rustic. You just park on the road in the parking lot, and you walk out to your campsite there, but you have beautiful bayside views. And then we also operate 20 eco tents. So we have 2 different floor plans for that, or you know, a winter and a summer mode. In the winter months, those eco tents are fully furnished with beds and different things like that. And then in the summer months, it's more of a rustic setup. That's there's just a fan in there and a light, but we do have electricity. So we have a lot going on here on our property. It's a big property, a lot of space. And then opening, we're hoping to open sometime early January 2022. Could push into February depending on construction timelines, but we are opening a new lodge and restaurant. The lodge is going to have 24 rooms, comprised of studios, 1-bedroom and 2-bedroom floor plans. And then our restaurant will be a quick service or quick casual style restaurant. They'll be open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It'll have indoor seating of about 80 people and about 20 people out on the deck.
Wow, that sounds ambitious. That's
really... Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot going on here. So we definitely need, you know, a lot of support staff. And, you know, we definitely, our winter months is our busy season. You know, it's quiet here in the summer, but in the winter, we definitely need a lot of people to help us, you know, get through.
What type of jobs do you hire work campers to perform?
All across the board. So everything that I just mentioned, all these outlets, they all need help. So I'm looking for dock hands, cashiers in our store, supervisors. We're looking for campground attendants, campground hosts. We're looking for naturalists. Just all across the board, you know, all these departments are hiring. They all scale down to a skeleton crew in the summer months, and then we pick up in our busy season. So we need support in all of these outlets. And then, of course, for our new lodge and restaurant to open up, we're hiring for all those positions right now.
Okay, so food service and housekeeping.
Exactly. Food service, housekeeping, front desk. Exactly, yes.
How many work campers do you expect to hire in the next year?
Well, that's a great question. So we have, at the moment, we have 16 full hookup sites in our dorm area. We have 3 more full hookup sites in our campground. So we have a total of 19 there. Next fall, we hope to have 12 more full hookup sites in our employee housing area. And then in our Long Pine Key campground, we have a space for 2 camp hosts there.
Okay. All right. So it looks like you can get almost 30 work campers. Or couples.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. Of course, and then, you know, we love couples because then we have 2 people coming to one site and, we need as many people as we can get down here. All the hands can hit, all hands on deck to help. So, sure. You know, we're very busy here in the winter months. We were extremely busy last year, you know, coming out of a COVID shutdown. And we expect that trend to continue through this coming winter here and then into the future, especially as we bring our lodge and restaurant on board online. That's just going to draw more people. It's going to give, you know, more reasons to come down here, day trippers to come down and have a meal at the restaurant, more overnight accommodations for people. So we expect to continue to just increase our business as the years go on.
Do you hire solo work campers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We hire solo. We hire couples. Like I said, we love couples because you can put two to a site, but, solo work campers are just as favorable. Mm-hmm. So we hire both. The only thing that you know, an exception with our work campers here is you have to be able to commit to full-time work to live in our employee housing area. So we don't offer, accommodations for those that aren't working. So if it is, say, a couple and only one is working, unfortunately, we don't have space for those to accommodate those folks right now. But, and we don't offer accommodations for children and work campers, you know, traveling as families with only one person working. So we do require that if you do live in our employee housing area, that you are committed to working full time.
Okay. So that makes sense. I was going to ask about teenagers. If a family had teenagers, mm-hmm. Would mm-hmm. the teenagers be able to work? But both parents would be expected to work as well, correct?
Exactly. That is correct. And of course, you would need to be 18 years of age or older to work with us here.
Okay. All right. So if there's a family there and both parents are working, but they have a teenager who can watch the kids, is that acceptable?
It's not. So, okay. Yeah. So we just don't have this exactly. So we don't have the space, and we're also, we're a little unique in our housing area here. We do share our housing space with the National Park Service. So everyone that, lives in, our housing area is also required to have a background screening. And it just because of our limited space and, we do require that you, are available for full-time work to live here.
So they're working at least 40 hours a week. Is overtime available?
Well, overtime is available. Of course, we try to, you know, watch our labor dollars like any, you know, business does. Sometimes there is overtime. There's not a lot of opportunity for that. But we all know in these seasonal operations that sometimes that is, we do lean on our employees to help us out a little bit more than the 40-hour commitment. And of course, when I say that, people are available for full-time commitment, it means up to 40 hours a week. If I don't have that, you know, the hours available and they're only working 30 hours that week, that's fine. But, you know, so we just put that qualifier out there that we do want you available for full-time hours.
Sure.
We have our shoulder season. So as we get geared up and there's training and things like that, it may be in the 35-hour range, but when we're in season, most people should expect to work 40 hours a week.
Okay. And once again, when does the season start and end?
Okay, so we're a year-round operation, but our peak season would probably be defined from Thanksgiving through Easter. So we start bringing in our work campers or all our seasonal staff, and we stagger them. So we start to bring them in as early as October, beginning of October, and then we space them out and we stagger those arrivals all the way in through the middle of November, just so that there's opportunity to, you know, as we start to build up into our season and have the opportunity to train people, we'll bring some in earlier. And like I said, and then we just stagger those arrivals. And of course, if there's any immediate needs, we'll fill those as we go along. But we do, hire everywhere, starting from early October all the way through mid-November. And then most people should be expected to work through the end of April or the end of May. And then, of course, the same on the tail end of our season. You know, we stagger the exit of our employees and the end of their commitment.
Okay, that's very good. Are these paid positions, I'm assuming, not volunteer?
They are, yes. So we don't offer any volunteer positions for full hookups. Everything is paid. We do offer full hookups at the, and we charge $20 a week for rent that comes out of a direct, deduction from their paycheck. And that gives them a full hookup that's electric, water, and sewer. And then we also have laundry facilities on site that are free to our employees. They just have to provide their own, you know, soap, dryer sheets, bleach, anything that they may want if they don't have their own laundry set up in their RVs.
Okay. What about pets? Can people bring pets into the Everglades?
If you can, absolutely. So pets are more than welcome. We're very pet friendly here. They're welcome to have them in their RVs. They just for Park Service guidelines, they are not allowed to leave their pets outside unattended if the owner isn't there. Mm-hmm. So if they're working for the day, they're going to have to leave their pets inside. And we do require that it's a self-contained RV, meaning that it has a working air conditioning unit. It has its plumbing and electric.
Okay.
So that, you know, we don't have bathhouses for those that are coming in, bringing in RVs that don't have showers or toilets or anything like that.
Why is that?
We just don't have bathhouses available.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So if they're going to live in our employee housing area, exactly, we just don't have anywhere for them to go. So we don't have bathhouses. So our RV sites, they're just all in a row with full hookups. And so that's why we require that they're a self-contained RV with plumbing and electric.
Okay. Very good. Now, if somebody finds an alligator they'd like to adopt as a pet, would you allow that? I'm kidding.
Well, yeah. No, I don't think Park Service would be on board with that. But we are pet friendly otherwise. You know, cats, dogs are great. Just one thing to keep in mind, this isn't the most pet friendly of parks in the sense that the pets are not allowed on any of the trails here with the exception of paved paths and roadways.
Mm-hmm.
So those that, you know, are bringing their dogs here and they want like to exercise and walk them, you know, we just want to be transparent that, you know, they're not allowed on the trails, but they are welcome to walk on the roads and along the paved paths.
Okay. Is there any special skills or training that the work campers need?
No, not necessarily. I mean, anything, you know, the most of the positions are entry-level jobs or they require a little bit of experience. You know, if they lack experience or whatever skill sets, we can usually train them and get them up to speed. Those that require more of a experience or a skill set or, you know, a degree or something like that, those are more for our full-time year-round employees. So we fill in the seasonal holes with people that we pretty much expect that they'll have a minimal skill set. So we're geared up to train them in those positions.
So your work campers are not going to work as like the boat skippers?
Well, no. So captain, that's a credential and a skill set and licenses involved with all that. So, mm-hmm. We do hire some, seasonal. We have, you know, three full-time year round captain positions, which are full. And then we do hire one seasonal position. That one, of course, is already filled for the season. That one goes pretty quick. But for the most part, yeah, anything with a license or a degree or a skill set, they're more for our full-time year-round positions.
Are there any special traits or qualifications that you're looking for in work campers?
No, not really. You know, just a desire to work hard and if you don't know something, being open to learn it and anybody that's manageable and teachable, you know, for what we're doing for our seasonal work, it's all pretty much entry level stuff that, we can just teach those people. So, you know, they just need a desire to work and be good employees and they're welcome aboard.
Are you recruiting for the 2022 season or have you already filled all those positions?
Well, so our season is kind of split. So we are between, you know, tail end of 2021 and 2022. Most of our positions for this 2021-2022 season are filled. We do have a few open positions, mainly for the new lodge and restaurant project that will be coming online sometime in January. And we are bringing some people in early for that so that we can start some training. So when that project does open, they're already trained and ready to go. So the remaining positions for what we would say the 2022 winter season would be for the lodge and restaurant.
Okay. Where do you typically find your work campers?
they're coming from all over the country. You know, some of them are localized to just North Florida. I know we have a lot of people coming from the Grand Tetons this year, from Maine, New York. They're coming from all over the country. We have a few that are coming from Alaska. They're working seasonally up there, and they're heading this way for the winter season. So they're coming from many miles away, all over the country.
Okay. Besides WorkCamper.com, are you also using like the federal site, the volunteer.gov,
I believe? We mainly, for our recruiting purposes, and what we found is that most successful for us is we use WorkCamper, absolutely. And then we also use Craigslist. More of a localized level for South Florida. And then we use CoolWorks.
Oh.
And then we do advertise quite a bit on Indeed.
Okay.
So those are the main four that we use.
Okay. What's involved in the hiring and interview process?
So we require an application on file to start the process. And then the first thing that will happen is our business office manager will reach out and do the initial pre-screening and, you know, talk all about living here and, you know, what the job is available, what that job entails and all those types of things, and talk about, you know, pay and you know, the cost of living here and different things like that. And then depending on the position, there may be a follow-up call from the hiring manager. But not always. Sometimes, you know, everything is discussed and we feel good about the applicant, and the applicant feels good about the position, and all questions are answered and all our, you know, I's and are dotted and T's are crossed and we feel good about everything. So it may be just that one initial pre-screening interview, and then we go to a job offer.
Okay. For the jobs that start in the winter, when are those decisions made, the hiring decisions generally?
Oh, so we pretty much hire shortly after, you know, the interview. We don't really table all of our applicants. Those that are willing to commit to us and we think are a good fit for us, and they think we're a good fit for them, we'll just go ahead and put an offer out. Like I said before, you know, a lot of especially our WorkCamper crowd, they like to have their commitments dialed in and, you know, June and July, so that they know what to expect coming into the season. So, you know, they're not scrambling last minute, leaving one property and wondering where they're going next. So we just start filling positions and putting commitments out as early as June for our next season.
My goodness, that's early. That's organized.
It is, but, you know, it works for us. And, you know, I think it's a good relationship to form that one early. And that way, you know, the work campers know they have a commitment and we know we have a commitment. I think it works well for both of us.
What's the pay range for the jobs that you're hiring for?
Yeah, so the pay range is anywhere from $11 to $16 an hour, depending on the position. Most of those entry-level positions, the seasonal year-round positions, you can expect between the $11 and $13 range.
Oh, that's reasonable. And you had talked about some other benefits like free camp, not free, but very low cost, $20 a week for a full hookup site. That's pretty remarkable.
That is correct. So exactly. So that's $80 a month coming out, and that covers all your utilities.
Okay.
The only thing that's not covered there is Wi-Fi or cellular service. And of course, any, you know, DirecTV or any TV options you may want. One thing to make note of is here in Flamingo, AT&T cell service is the only cell provider in the area. We have one tower right here in Flamingo. So once you're in Flamingo, the service is fantastic, but it is limited to AT&T.
That's very good.
And then exactly. So most people just use a hotspot off their AT&T plan for internet and phone service. Like I said, we do not offer employee Wi-Fi at this time. We may in the future. Wi-Fi is tough down here, so we're limited with our Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi that we do have is limited just to our operations. We don't have any public Wi-Fi down here.
Are there any other perks for the work campers, like discounted boat rentals and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. So depending on the day and the business levels, you know, canoes and kayaks would be free to take out into the backcountry or out onto the bayside. You know, if they want to rent a bicycle for a few hours, that would be free. We offer discounts on our tour boats, especially if there is a space available. There's absolutely no charge. As a matter of fact, we encourage everybody to use all of our activities. You know, we all end up being concierge at some point through our time here. You know, anytime a guest sees an employee, they're going to assume we know all the answers. So they're going to start asking us questions. So I absolutely encourage every one of our employees to take advantage of, and not just for that purpose, but for their own personal experiences while they're here. I want them to, you know, see and explore this beautiful wilderness that we have here down in Southern Florida. But absolutely, you know, the canoes and kayaks would be free. Our skiff rentals, we do offer discounts. You know, if they want to reserve it, it's at a certain discounted rate. If they want to wait until the day of, then it's an even deeper discount if they just want to see if one's available for the day. And then we offer discounts on our houseboats. And like I said, the tour boats, those are free to just jump on, especially when space available. You can never learn enough about the area, and it's a nice way to see and start to learn a lot about the uniqueness of the Everglades here.
Is the schedule set up so that people have time to enjoy the area?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. For the most part, like I said, we work people, you know, 40 hours a week on 5-day schedules. We're very accommodating to our couples. We always guarantee that they at least have one day off together. We always try to get them two. Like I said, you know, I want them to make sure that they're having a good experience down here as well. You know, they're coming down here to work for us, and we're expecting a little bit from them. So they should expect a little bit from us. And, you know, so we try to have that nice, you know, work-life balance where they're able to explore and enjoy their time here as well as putting in, you know, some hard work, you know, when that's needed as well.
Besides the Everglades, are there any other things that draw people to the area that work campers can take advantage of during their time off?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, for one, you know, if they like to fish, we're a world-class fishing destination right here in Flamingo. If you want to explore a little bit further outside of the Everglades National Park itself, I mean, geez, it's a nice place. You know, we are 50 miles from the greater Miami area. And, you know, within an hour and a half, you can be in downtown Miami, which is just a fantastic city. You could be in Key Largo in an hour and a half. You can be on the Gulf side over in Everglades City in an hour and a half. You can be up in Fort Lauderdale enjoying some of their beaches. You could be in the Naples area enjoying some of their beaches, everything within a 2-hour drive. And then, of course, you know, we have all of South Florida is just a wonderful, beautiful place. A lot to visit, a lot to explore, natural history, recreation opportunities abound, snorkeling, parasailing, good food, arts, entertainment. It's all here. So we live in our nice little protected, quiet, serene bubble down here. And then the big city is there when you want it. So okay. It's a nice balance of the two.
If a work camping couple really liked boating, would there be a place for them to park a boat if they towed one in?
There is, absolutely. So we have a maintenance yard. They can't leave it in our employee housing area, but they can park it in our maintenance yard. That's where we keep our fleet of trailers and boats when they're out of the water. The Park Service keeps their boats there. So it's a nice, safe, protected area away from guests and out of the public eye. They're welcome to keep their boats there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What can a work camper do to make sure that their application really stands out?
You know, we always think it's nice, you know, and fun to have a resume attached. We love to see the pictures of people smiling. And then, you know, it's always neat to kind of look over their history and their experiences, because we do the same here ourselves. You know, myself, I've been, you know, traveling and working in national parks for the last 20 years. So it's always nice to see what experience they've had and where they've been. You know, we've all been in kind of our own little places and our own paths and our own travels over the years. So it's always nice to kind of put all those together and see where everyone else has been or where maybe we've all been, you know, together You know, a lot of times we know people from different parks, but we were there at different times and different years and seasons. So, but to make somebody stand out, yeah, we just, you know, it's nice to see that resume. It's nice to see the, you know, a good commitment at different seasonal places. And, yeah, that's always good to see. Okay.
Is there one thing you really wish all work campers knew before they came to work for you?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of them kind of, a lot of these parks are quite similar. So they a lot of times they know what to expect in these seasonal environments. There's those that are new to the work camping experience. I don't know that we have any uniqueness here. You know, everybody has their own rules and things that need to be followed. Like I said, in our work camping area and our employee housing, we do require that if you're going to live there, that you're available for full-time work. We don't allow overnight guests in our employee housing area. That may or may not be unique depending on the property that you're at. If somebody wants to bring in a guest, they're welcome to move their RV over to our campground. We'll give them a site for free and they can stay there for the night with their overnight guests. But as I had mentioned before, you know, to stay in our employee housing area, they do require a background screening. So we don't allow overnight guests there, but we do allow guests during the day. From 8 in the morning till 8 p.m. if they want to bring down visitors so that they can see where they're living and what they're doing. But I don't really think there's anything really unique or different about our seasonal operation than any of those that I've experienced.
That's a good point about the overnight guests. Like grandparents could not bring a grandchild in for a day or two and with them. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. Very good. What about safety? I know there are alligators roaming around over there. Is there anything that work campers have to know about that?
Yeah, and it's you know, and it's not just alligators. We have the American crocodile here. We see them on a daily basis. I don't think that there's. I know that you know, it's very safe. Like with all wildlife, you view them from a safe distance, and there's never an issue. We kayak, we walk by our crocodiles and our alligators all the time. It's absolutely, you know, it can be intimidating the first time you're walking around or seeing them up close. And it can be deceiving. Sometimes people will think they're fake because they are reptiles. They just lay there in the sun. They don't do a whole lot. They don't make a lot of movement unless they need to. But that, you know, the interactions with wildlife, as long as you're viewing from a safe distance, there should absolutely be no concern there whatsoever. Those that have pets, you know, you might be a little more cautious if you're walking around because there can be gators or crocodiles on the shorelines. You know, we do have birds of prey here, eagles and tons of ospreys. You know, you can't even count the number of ospreys that are here. So if you have a small little pet, you might want to make sure that you're keeping an eye on them when you're outside with them. But otherwise, there's no concern with interactions between the wildlife here.
Okay. Where can people get more information about this opportunity?
The best place is to just go to our guest services website or our Flamingo Adventures FlamingoEverglades.com is our website for our property here. And that's the best way to start. They can see our property, see pictures, see all of our operation, times of operation and things like that. And then, of course, up in the top right corner, there's a button in the menu bar for careers, and it'll take you right to our career page for them to start filling out an application.
And what do you do at Guest Services? What's your title?
Oh, yes. So I am the general manager for guest services here. So I oversee all of the operation here in Flamingo and the Long Pine Key Campground.
Can you talk for just a couple of seconds about guest services, what it is, and all the different properties they're involved in?
Oh, absolutely. Guest Services has been in operation for over 100 years. They're a fantastic company. This is my first tenure with them. I'm very pleased with them and how they operate, but they have a huge portfolio. They're in a number of national parks, state parks. They have some condos. We do own the DoubleTree Hotel in Naples. So, you know, we do hotel management. We have our assisted living division. We operate a bunch of marinas throughout the country, different houseboat operations. So there's a lot of opportunity to stay with the company and, you know, move around seasonally from one property to the next. you know, we operate in, say, for instance, Mount Rainier National Park. I know a lot of people like to go up there in the summer months and hike and explore and then come down here and enjoy the sun and the nice weather for the winter months. So it's a nice company to work for. Like I said, a very big portfolio and a lot of opportunity to not just work here in the Everglades, but then to transfer to another property as well in the summer months.
Very good. And the website for guest services to find all those positions is what?
They would just search for Guest Services, Inc.
Guest Services, Inc.
Correct. Guest Services, Inc. Exactly. And then there will be another tab for the career page there.
Very good. Well, this has been very helpful. Thank you very much, JJ. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Greg. I appreciate your time, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
I really enjoyed speaking with JJ Candela, the general manager of Flamingo Adventures, about what it would take to work in the Everglades. I have visited the Everglades several times and enjoyed each experience. It's an interesting place to visit simply for the wildlife you'll encounter. The first time I visited, I hoped I'd get to see an alligator, and I wasn't more than a few steps from the visitor center when I encountered a dozen or so sunning themselves along one of the walking paths. Don't worry, the gators are very accustomed to visitors and pose nicely for photographs if you maintain a respectable distance. But you'll also see many different birds, animals, reptiles, and amphibians. Spending the night in the Everglades is an experience all by itself, with the different noises serenading you throughout the night. Although most jobs are already filled for this winter, Flamingo Adventures will need some work campers starting in January or February when the lodge and restaurant open. Generally, recruitment begins in June or July for the winter season. The hiring process involves an initial pre-screening interview to discuss what living and working at the park is like and to talk about the jobs that are available and what's required for each. Sometimes an additional interview is needed with a hiring manager, although many jobs are offered right away. Because the jobs are located on federal property, a background check is required for all positions. There is plenty to do in the area when you're not working. Miami is about 90 minutes away, and so are the Florida Keys. Work campers also enjoy free use of bicycles and paddle boats, as well as discounts on skiffs and houseboats when they're available. There are some things to note about working in the Everglades. Cell service is pretty much limited to AT&T in the Flamingo Campground and Verizon at Long Pine Key. Pets are allowed in the park, but must be confined to paved streets and walkways. You wouldn't want to leave one unattended outside or to allow it to run off leash. There are also no bathhouses in the campgrounds, so RVs must have working air conditioners and bathrooms. For more information about working in the Everglades and available jobs, visit www.flamingoeverglades.com. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from WorkCamper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you're taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is too short, so choose what you want to do when you want to do it by starting a business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrver.com. That wraps up another episode. Next week, I'll be speaking with a different employer hiring work campers for jobs at Yellowstone National Park. I'll have more details on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.